Archer Roper.
Yes.
Joining us right now, and now it's your time. Let's start with Black Klansman. Can we do this?
Sure.
Because this is one of the most highly anticipated films of the year. I say that once a week. And
you said that about Mamma Mia too.
Yeah, I guess I did. But I will say that Spike Lee is one of those directors that, when he is on his game, is as great a film director as you ever hope to see. There are some movies that he has done that are so immensely entertaining and yet super smart simultaneously, right? I mean,
you go back to Do the Right Thing and Malcolm X and 25th Hour, and just, you know, he's very prolific too. You get a movie a year usually from Spike. He's very efficient as a filmmaker. He's made movies. He's never had a huge budget for a movie ever.
Inside Man, which is one of those movies where people, they love the movie, then they find out Spike Lee directed, and they go, what?
Yeah, heist film, because you don't expect it, because he can, you know, everyone thinks it's always going to be something with a big social conscience, and he's done mainstream entertainment and small films and experimental films, Chirac,
why hasn't things like that. It risen to that level, or why doesn't he attract a big budget at this point?
It's by his own design, because he has control over his films. It's a little bit like the Woody Allen model, where, hey, if give me a certain amount of money and then leave me alone. Mm-hmm. So he's got deals with Amazon Studios and things like that as well. So Black Klansman is a film based on the true story of Detective Ron Stallworth, who in the 1970s joins the Colorado Springs Police Department, first black detective ever there. He sees a newspaper ad one day advertising for membership in the Klan. And this being the old days, he picks up the phone and starts talking to one of the Klan leaders of the local chapter.
Oh, boy.
Just puts on a white voice, basically. And, you know, and then when they say, hey, you really sound like a kind of guy that really could be part of the Klan, then he realizes, I probably can't go to the meeting being black. So his white partner, who's played by Adam Driver, has to go impersonate him, impersonating the white supremacist. Now, Ron Stallworth is played by John David Washington, who's on the show Ballers on HBO. That's probably why he's best known. He also has a little bit of a relative in the acting family, in that his father is Denzel Washington.
Oh, I know him.
And when you listen to John David, he doesn't really look a lot like his father, but when you listen to him, you sometimes hear a little bit of his father's voice. But he's really, this is a star-making role on his own. So here's a clip. This is the point where his partner, where Stallworth's partner, Flip, is getting into a little bit of a battle with him about how far and how deep they're going to go into the KKK.
Why haven't you bought into this?
Why should I?
Because you're Jewish, brother. The so-called chosen people. You've been passing for a WASP.
White Anglo-Saxon Protestant, cherry pie, hot dog, white boy. That's what some light-skinned black folks do. They pass for white.
Doesn't that hate you've been hearing the Klan say? Doesn't that piss you off?
Of course it does.
Then why are you acting like you ain't got skin in the game, brother?
Rookie, that's my business.
It's our business. I'm going to get you your membership card so you can go to the cross burning and get in deeper with these guys.
Ooh, hear Denzel.
And by the way, the membership card, the KKK membership card that Ron Stallworth got, he really did get a card. The black police detective was sent to his house, and the real-life Ron Stallworth is still around. Uh-huh. You know, when he met the cast, he actually showed them his KKK card. Another fascinating bit of casting in this film, the young, charismatic, and thoroughly despicable leader nationally of the Klan in the early 1970s, David Duke. And he's played by Topher Grace.
Oh, my God.
Who is great playing David Duke.
Oh, my God.
Because you think of Topher Grace, he's one of the more likable, all the way back to that 70s show, the most likable, charismatic, regular kind of guy, which is perfect to play the devil.
Oh, yeah.
If you're Topher Grace, this is the greatest thing ever. You're going to play the head of the KKK.
Yes.
David Duke, an American cultural figure.
Yes.
In a Spike Lee film. I feel like his agent calling him and telling him that. Topher, listen, baby darling, sweetheart, listen, this is what I got you. We're going to play against type. This is going to change your career. You're going to win an Oscar. Here it is.
Bubby.
And he comes to Colorado. David Duke comes to Colorado for a big Klan rally. And the Colorado Springs Police Department, the white chief there, most of the white cops actually really supported Ron Stallworth. They were really, you know, in on this, and they backed him all the way. So they actually assigned Ron Stallworth, the only black detective, to be David Duke's security when he was in Colorado.
Oh, my God.
That, you know, so there's a lot of really kind of, you know, cool humor in this as well as the serious drama. And while you're watching it, you got to remember, this is a true story. This really happened. And they stick pretty close to the facts. But it being a Spike Lee film, there's also great music. You know, he always uses, you know, the Ball of Confusion by The Temptations and mm-hmm. all those period piece things. There's a cool romance that goes on. The costumes, the cars, all of that puts you in the 70s. But the story is incredible. And it's told... I don't want to give it away, but let's just say that there are some parallels drawn to things that are happening today in this movie, and brilliantly done. 4 stars for Black Klansman.
All right.
I believe it will get nominated for Best Picture. The real Best Picture, not the new phony category they're coming up with.
All right, well, let's talk about that, because I don't understand what they've done at the Academy of Motion Picture Arts and Sciences, which was, you know, talk about white privilege. Talk about a bunch of old people.
Yeah.
Talk about the, you know, the world of... you know, the really traditional old Hollywood.
Right.
But it was also done by the artist wing of old Hollywood that had very specific rules. So that's why, like, indie films and other kinds of films that were outside the mainstream had a little trouble breaking in.
Right.
But big budget, lush, huge, but smart films were always the ones that, you know, were in the finals.
Yeah. Although, you know, a lot of times the huge, huge movies get overlooked. Titanic, of course, was a huge Oscar winner, one of the biggest box office movies of all time. But I think one of the problems that Hollywood was having in the last 20 years, like, for example, there's never been a superhero movie to get a major Oscar nomination, even though that's what's fueling the industry. So now ABC, which is seeing the ratings drop, it still gets huge numbers, the Oscars, mm-hmm. but the numbers have dropped quite a bit. They realize, finally, that you can't do these four-hour telecasts. So one of the things they want to do is they're going to shorten the telecast by eliminating some of the tech awards. Not eliminating them, but just actually not televising them. Like, maybe, you know, best animated short, or, you know, there's sound editing, and then there's editing. Sound design.
That's true.
You know?
There's a middle portion in there that doesn't make any sense.
So true.
Yeah, and I always describe it as the portion where people you never heard of, who created a movie you're never going to see, thank a bunch of other people you never heard of.
Never.
Well, of course that's going to hurt it. People, you know, people are getting so upset about this on Twitter, but it's like, you have to look at this. This is a major television show. ABC pays $90 million to the Academy for the rights to show the Oscars. So they kind of do have the right to say, hey, listen, we need some changes, guys, or we're not going to pay this money anymore. So I think making it a two-hour show is a step in the right direction.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but don't they already have certain categories that don't make the telecast?
They absolutely do. They have a separate luncheon. They also have different levels of Oscars. There are, you know, they call it lifetime achievement. It's not really a lifetime achievement, but special achievement. There are plaques. There are, you know, special awards. Bob Hope had 4 Oscars, even though he never won an Oscar, just various designations. Mm-hmm. So that's what they're doing with this popular category. They're going to give an Oscar for a popular film. But a lot of people are worried now that by doing that, these big films aren't going to be taken seriously for the major award. It's going to be considered a minor award. Oh, you won for best popular film. You didn't win the real Oscar.
Well, is it the same trophy? Oscar?
That's the other thing. They didn't announce all the details yesterday. They said, well, we'll let you know. Why wouldn't you have the plan in place before you announce this?
Yeah, why not?
But the concern is, for example, you know, Black Panther, which we've talked about extensively on this show, which has made $2 billion, mm-hmm. I think deserves a Best Picture nomination. But now the voters, who still are a little conservative, they've gotten better over the years, the voters would say, yeah, you know what, let's just give Black Panther the popular Oscar, not the real Oscar. So it's sort of like the
or Wonder Woman or movies like that, that last year everybody was... Well, Wonder Woman was up, wasn't it, for...
No, Wonder Woman didn't get... It got some nominations, but nothing major. I thought Patty Jenkins should have gotten nominated.
For director, right?
Gal Gadot as well, and they did not.
Yeah, so... But now, is it just in the picture category, or are the actors also? Like, does The Rock have a shot?
They're not going to do... They're not yet going to do... 5 different categories. Some people say eventually they're going to do best action film, best comedy, best animated, best drama, best musical. You know, then it'll really dilute it. But this popular category right now seems to be the one that's got everybody worked out up, because they're like, really? You're going to really pander in that way? I think what they should do is take the top 10 box office films, the top 10 performers, put them on the ballot for most popular, and then people vote for most outstanding blockbuster. And my suggestion is you call it the Steven Spielberg Award in honor of the godfather of the modern blockbuster. That could be a separate thing, but then still have those films all eligible in all the other categories.
Have you suggested this to anybody?
Well, I have, but, you know, so far.
Because it's a really great idea.
It is a great idea.
Thank you.
Yeah. Right now, I would call one of those, Baby Darling, Sweetheart, listen, head of the Oscars, I've got a great idea for you. Because that is a great idea. Because then you don't. Then you've got the blockbuster award.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, the, or would you say the best? It would be best.
It's like the top 10 box office performers. So that's already guaranteed. You know, you don't have to do it. But then you let the Academy vote on which of them is the most outstanding blockbuster film. Okay. Then it's still getting rewarded on its merits as well. And you call it the Steven Spielberg Award. So it is a little bit different than the regular
Oscar.
Yeah. It's got a different look to it, you know.
It's Spielberg naked as opposed to Oscar, whatever that wasn't that. I'm trying to remember that. I know there's like an important connection here. It was like that. Was it that Betty Davis's boyfriend or somebody? There was somebody.
Somebody said it looked like my uncle Oscar.
Yeah. You know? Or a boyfriend Oscar. Yeah. I don't know. It looked like a guy named Oscar. Uh-huh. So they started calling it the Oscar.
But, you know, they used to be more creative way back in the day. They once gave Snow White and the Seven Dwarves a special Oscar that was one big Oscar and seven little miniature Oscars. They used to do more fun things like that. They just, for outstanding achievement, they would say a special Oscar.
How about that?
Do something like that.
I'm going to look up who Oscar was during the break here so that I will make sure.
Oscar Goodman from The $6 Million Man.
Too soon. He just died.
Oscar Robertson?
Yeah. All right, we'll come back and there's a couple other films too we should mention that Richard would like to tell you about, including one that has a really kind of interesting and somewhat eerie reflection on Chicago violence. That coming your way. But first, Judy, what's coming up at the bottom of the hour?
In an unheard of move, a federal judge turns around a plane carrying an immigrant mom and daughter.
Oh, okay. Violetta?
Travel time?
Hold on. You're being brought to us by the Illinois Department of Transportation, and we'd also like to see your papers.
I am good.
Don't miss Chicago Tribune's first ever night market. Enjoy food, fun, and entertainment August 24th through the 26th. Learn more. Visit ctfoodbowl.com/night market.
Trisha Roper has told us that Black Klansman is a 4-star movie.
Wowza.
Would you say so far the best movie of the year?
Top five.
Ooh.
Don't ask me to name the other four. All of a sudden I turn into Kev.
Why does everyone talk like that on this show?
I don't know. Because it feels kind of good.
It's a huge deal. Yep. We're flexing, that's why. When you flex, that's you actually, talk like this.
That's pretty much the truth.
What's up, ladies? You know which way the weight room is?
Anna's like, oh, God, I'm so glad I had a daughter.
We're showing off. You know, we're bragging. We're bragging a little bit.
Yeah, that's what it is. Yeah, no big deal.
Chest is out and,
Anyway, you said Black Klansman's 4 stars. Yes. The new idea that the Oscars have to do the most,
popular category.
Most popular movie of the year is a bad idea, unless they want to do it as a separate kind of an award just to keep people interested.
Maybe
but you already know the answer.
Yeah, that's the problem with that. It's like, you know, how are you not going to call Black Panther? It's the most popular film, so how are you going to call it not the most popular? You're almost asking for trouble if you don't, right?
Right.
Yeah.
But is this all about just making the actual telecast more highly rated? Or are they just saying, hey, we need to have more diverse Oscars? Or
it's about the ratings. It's about the telecast itself. They're not really going to change any of the other categories. You're still going to have the 24 categories that we know about. They're just adding the popular category.
If they want ratings, they just should just show Black Panther instead and email us and tell us it won.
During commercial breaks.
I always think the speeches
scroll the winners.
The speech has gone too long. We all know that. But the presenters are always, they just don't seem vested in it. What they write, it just
they're
seems
too cool
like
for the room, man. Yeah.
And you find out that actors are really weird people. Is what you find out, because there are so many actors who are just almost incapable of forming a sentence that's not been written for them. I mean, it makes them great artists in a lot of ways because they create these characters, but they're just not real good. You know,
half the time when they sound good, you're like, "Well, that you didn't say anything right there."
Right. So it's just not what it is. It's just I mean, and they want to do it at 2 hours. I say 3 hours is the right amount of time.
Because, really? Even though it doesn't start till what, 8 o'clock or 8:30?
7:30, yeah. 7 or
7:30. 7 or 7, yeah. Yeah, and you get to, all right, so 2.5 hours.
Time, 2.5.
2.5 hours, right? So you get to 10 o'clock. You want to get your 10 o'clock news, right?
There you go.
That's the thing. And that's, but making it, because people invest time and they have parties, they do all kinds of, I mean, it's an event.
Yeah.
right? You want an event.
Yeah, it still gets 20, 25 million viewers. You know, it's not the 50 million they used to get, but nobody gets those numbers anymore, except for Roseanne. And then look at she.
Look what happened. Boom.
All right, I didn't know. Let's, all right, wait, very, very quickly. Yes. Tell us about this documentary.
Chi-Town, playing at the Gene Siskel Film Center. It's a documentary about a basketball player at Marshall. And it tracks him for 5 years when he goes off to Wisconsin Green Bay on a scholarship. So you can imagine the cultural differences as we're seeing when he's in Wisconsin Green Bay as opposed to when he goes back home to Englewood and is helping out with his family. 3.5 stars if you get a chance to see it. It's called Chi-Town. It's really well done. And there's some really kind of eerie parallels to Hoop Dreams. It's not connected in any way, not the same filmmakers or anything. But this kid plays Kiefer Sykes. His name is who's really terrific, and you really get to know him and root for him. He plays for Marshall High School. By the time he's playing at Wisconsin Green Bay, his Marshall High School teammates, one was doing 20 years in prison, one had been shot and paralyzed, was in a wheelchair, and his coach had been shot and paralyzed, is in a wheelchair. Sean Harrington, and if people might remember, that was a big news story because he was driving his daughter to school one morning, and a guy on the corner pulled out a gun and shot him in a case of mistaken identity, and he leaned across the car to save his daughter and took 2 bullets was paralyzed. And they're all featured in this movie. And Sean Harrington was actually featured in Hoop Dreams as a player at Marshall High School.
How about that?
So there is a connection in that way, kind of a spiritual sequel, if you will, to Hoop Dreams.
All right, Chi-Town. Thank you, Richard.
Thank you.
Let's check in with Judy Pilak with the WGN News coming away in 2 minutes.